You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, my kindreds out there? You brave souls. I know there's been some stuff going on out here. We are living in times that I personally feel our back is always against the walls. But before we bring on our guest, I got somebody hot today. I wanted to talk about Mrs. Diana Ross. Now, I watched the Met Gala. I hope that all of you that are fashionistas, people that like fashion, just want to be nosy and see who went to the Met or who might go to the Met or might be there. Miss Diana Ross, she shut the show down. Homegirl had a trail with all of her, the children and the grandchildren embroidered in the trail. Everybody stood to the left. I was watching it from a TV screen, and even my knees buckled. I felt like bowing down. I wasn't nowhere near the Met, but I felt like bowing. It was so gracious and so wonderful to see people at any stage in Hollywood still bring the star to the stars. You know, she still has her vigor and her stardom running through her blood. So I wanted to really give a shout out to her and all of the beautiful people that were there. The theme was fabulous. We showed up and we really brought the flavor and brought the life that we know we can do when we go into any setting. We always make it live and liven things up. But now, roll of the drum, I want to introduce someone that I love. I would never think that I would have lived long enough to meet these iconic people. This woman is an iconic Hollywood actress. She has done a myriad of things. When you see her, you'll recognize her face. Her first break came, I believe, as an usherette at the Man's Groman's Chinese Theater here in Hollywood. She is Lithuanian via Canadian. She moved to Montreal with her family from Lithuania. They got into, I believe, the tailoring business. Then her mother pushed her to perform. I'll let her tell some of her own story. I can't say enough about our lovely guest, Miss Ruta Lee. Hey!
What a beautiful introduction. Oh my God, darling, would you please write my death notice when it comes?
Oh my,
you are so good at this. And
I don't want you to think about dying. I want you to think about living. Now, the first question I want to, by the way, I watched some of your interviews. You give great interviews. You do a really good job bringing the flavor. I saw you on Dr. Greg. I saw you on Hollywood Times. I believe they had you on there about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I believe. You were very busy, but I want to find out, honey, why you named your book Consider Your Ass Kissed. I love it when we all get to a certain age where we don't care about what people think and what they say. We can say whatever the hell you want to because you've earned the right to say it.
Right. Now, I'll tell you very honestly, my beautiful Osiris, that my very good friend, practically one of the kids in my family, I call him, is George Pinocchio, who is the red carpet man for ABC television. He does all the Academy Awards and the things, and he's a great news reporter. And he is also on the board of the Thalians, which is a group that was put together by young Hollywood types, people, entertainers, and also people around the industry, agents, writers, costumers, etc., who got tired of being called pot-smoking, hard-drinking asses with nothing to contribute. And they said, you know, we get together and hang around the piano and sing and dance and carry on. Why don't we put a show together and get a group going and sell some tickets and raise money for a worthwhile charity? And they sent out Jane Mansfield and Mamie Van Doren, two of the largest-breasted ladies in America, never mind the world, yes, to find a good charity. And they came back at the end of the month and came to the meeting and said, well, all the good diseases are gone. So they found a man who dealt with emotionally disturbed children. Mm-hmm. And he described that child as a rotting apple in a barrel. It will destroy the whole barrel if not taken care of. And we took on mental health for children. And 18 years later, built the first building that went in at Cedars-Sinai, which was the Thalians Mental Health Building. Very proud of ourselves. Raised millions and millions of dollars for mental health. And we went from pediatric through geriatric. Then one day we woke up to the fact that we were missing the boat, and that is we were not taking care of our returning veterans. Those beautiful young people that are willing to put their lives on the line for us and die for us Americans. And yet they come home and sometimes slip through the cracks and are not taken care of, especially when it comes to the mental problems.
Yes.
So we joined up with UCLA's Operation Mend. OpMend heals the broken and fractured bodies of these beautiful young people, while we Thalians try to heal the broken and fractured mind and spirit. And whenever anybody gave me money for the Thalians, we raised money by honoring stars. I would say whether it was $5 or $50 or $500,000, what can I do but say, consider your ass kissed? And my friend George Minocchio came to me and he said, if you ever finish writing this book that you've been writing for so many years, you must call it Consider Your Ass Kissed. And I took him seriously. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart with all the God-given love that I have.
Oh my God.
Thank you and consider your ass kissed if you did anything to help someone else.
I love that story. I want to get more into talking about you, but I will share something briefly with you. I'm a veteran, and I'm one of the veterans that had a lot happen to her when I was in the military. I went in right in out of high school with no nothing. I was 16, had to wait to turn 17. And, you know, you trust your children to the United States government that they're going to go out in the world and be these. I saw the ad. Be all you can be, join the waves. You know, I'm like, look, I want to be all I can be. I want to join the, and everyone, and I grew up around a group of boys. So everyone was in the military. So it inspired me to go. I'm glad I did it, but I did go through a lot. So I looked up the word Thalian on the, on Google, and it says that it is representative of a Greek goddess or a muse. Two women, it said, I think it said, of a Greek goddess or a muse. And I thought that was really interesting that you said that you and Jane Mansfield and that you started this thing and came up with this idea. And I was like, that's so fitting of what the meaning is, Thalia.
Well, you know? Thalia was the goddess of comedy.
But yeah, she comedy also, and idyllic poetry.
But mm-hmm. Osiris, she also took care of the straying lambs. Now, that seemed very appropriate that we in Hollywood, who get a bad rap anyway, we're supposed to be hard-drinking, you know, idiots. We did so much. We raised millions and millions of dollars. And we did it by simply honoring wonderful stars from Frank Sinatra through Whoopi Goldberg, through Lena Horne, through Debbie Reynolds, you know. And Debbie was one of our founding members.
Yes.
And of course, she was my best friend. And now I'm mad at her because she left me alone here without her. And she was such a fabulous lady. And you know, honey, she taught me one thing that is so important that I wish we'd all remember. And she said, you can ask anybody for anything as long as it isn't for yourself, but for a charity or somebody that needs it.
Okay.
And
that's a great
how
point.
Right that is. You can don't be shy. Don't be afraid. I used to think, gee, people cross the street when they see me coming because they know I'm going to ask them. You know, but it wasn't for me. It was for somebody else. And yes. In fact, I'm doing an event coming up on the 30th.
At the El Porto Theater. Yes.
Which happens to be, darling, my birthday.
90th birthday.
90th birthday. Oh, my God.
You were kicking butt.
Do you remember, Osiris, when you were a little girl and you thought 30 was at death's door? And here I am at 90 and I'm still kicking up my heels and doing whatever it takes and still asking people for money for the Thalians.
And you really do look, you know, I know people say this. Nobody wants to associate themselves with maturing, is what I like to say. But when I do my show, the reason I love people like you, you're iconic, is because when I was a little girl, I was a very old little child. So all of the young people, it was boring to me. So I hung around my grandmother and my aunts and people that had stories to tell. So, you know, I always wanted to hear story. And my mother would not let the girls do anything. We couldn't do anything without my brothers. We couldn't go in the yard by ourselves. We couldn't walk down the street by ourselves. Nothing. And maybe that's why I'm so free-spirited and I don't like to be cooped in these to now, this day. But it was the stories that helped me develop into this thing, this person you see now. And so I want you to tell, when you, I was listening to some of your stories and I could actually feel myself back in those days. If I were there and I had been with you guys, I'd have been hanging with you guys. Even though I was black, I'd have been trying to hang with y'all and, you know, and go. And I envisioned myself back in the room when you walked with Lucille Ball and you walked with Milton Berle and you shared and you caught their arm and they taught you things. Talk about how it felt as you came through, coming from Grauman's Chinese as an usher at two, being on Seven Brothers, Seven Wives.
My first job.
Going to, your first job to Milton Berle too. And you actually said how much you hung out. How was it like hanging with them every day, being around them, hanging out? What happened?
Darling girl. It was fabulous and wonderful. And you never thought twice about it because you're young and stupid and you don't know how lucky you are. And you assume, oh, this is going to go on forever. Well, it went on forever in many wonderful ways. Thank God I struck people the right way and God gave me either the smarts or just the love of humanity that whoever I met, I loved and appreciated, you know. And I find it so easy to smile at strangers. My husband used to say, Ruta introduces people on the elevator. God forbid they shouldn't have a good ride. You know, I'm just one of those people. If I'm walking by in a restaurant, I'll say, oh, what are you having? It smells good, tastes good. Tell me about it. You know, that's just me.
That's me.
I guess some people could say she's damn nosy, but it's out of interest and out of delight in meeting someone new and smiling at someone. And a smile is so easy to give. And sometimes it lightens somebody else's load that's having, you know, it's the cheapest thing you can give and how wonderful. But I loved being part of the business. Mm-hmm. I loved all the stars that came into my life. And I made friends out of almost all of them. They were people that I could pick up the phone and call and say, you know, will you do this for me? Will you make an appearance at the Thelians? Will you, we're honoring, Lucille Ball. Will you come and do something in the show? And it's just astounding. Think about it, Osiris. It's astounding how generous show people are. They will give away and do for free and give away the only thing they have to sell, which is themselves and their talent. And so I thank all of the stars that have appeared for us. And I've got to tell you, I have a little bitch, and that is, I don't think that this current generation of stars, now I have to preface this by saying I'm not including everybody, but generally, this generation of stars is not as reachable, not as affable, not as generous of time and spirit as those of us who knew what vaudeville was and how hard it was to work and later in television, The Beginners, they all knew what it was and were very willing to give back to God and humanity what it couldn't do for itself.
I was going to ask you, I was talking about the Met Gala before you came on.
Oh, yes.
And I felt my knees were buckling to bow down to Miss Ross when she came out, because you felt the elegance and you felt it wasn't just a costume on a body. It wasn't just people looking at, oh, wow, they're dressed beautiful. You look beautiful. It was like you could feel the royalty and the experiences. My girl walked up the, and just the way she was laid out. That's what I get from you. That's why these talks are so important.
But you know what's more important in what you're talking about is that the Met, most people across the world don't even know what the hell we're talking about.
Exactly.
So it introduces people who don't know to fine music, classical music, to the opera. That's what it's there for.
That's what it's there for.
And when gorgeous people fluff up in gorgeous attitudes and make an entrance at him, it adds an importance to an already existing art that can die quickly if it isn't always nurtured and taken care of. And oh boy, do I ever appreciate the people that make the big effort.
And you seem to, the reason I brought that up was that you seem to still have that. Somebody, I was talking to someone yesterday and they were saying how some of the stars, remember when back in the day, the stars were on the side of the rope and you really felt the glamour and the mystique and, you know, you didn't know all of their personal lives. So you felt like you could reach for something, like you could reach for a star. And it was the whole aura of mystery that was around them, you know. I didn't feel that. I saw some beautiful, I loved what everyone wore. I had nothing negative to say about anybody. Those people are tired, a lot of them flying in from different areas of the country on tour, breaking the tour schedule. I know what it's like. I'm in the entertainment. I understand the work behind it. But you, my darling, you still have that star quality, that it factor that you cannot buy with money. Money does not, it has to be in there. You either got to have it or you don't. What did you have to say? Are any of the people that are currently working, in your opinion, do they have that, I'm going to be here in the next 50, 60 years like Ruta Lee is here?
It's the older gals that still have it. I mean, take a look at a Cher. She always looks divine. Even if she's in jeans, they are tailor-made. They're done into perfection. And the nice thing is that she handles her fans and friends like they are good friends. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the stardom that nobody realizes exists. It used to be a lot easier, Osiris, for a celebrity to pose for a picture now and then because not everybody carried a camera. Now, everybody and his brother and his dog and his child have a camera. And you're constantly posing for pictures and not getting through to where you have to be. And that's something that has to be considered. If someone is ever rude, it simply means that maybe they said, excuse me, I've got to go. You know, I've got an appointment and we're tied up here. I think, Osiris, you've seen it happen.
I have, many a time.
That kind of adulation and adoring can turn into hating like that. Why? Because you said, I can't, excuse me, I have to go. Which can happen. People forget that just because you're there and your camera wants a picture doesn't mean that the person has the time to stop. Usually most people are very gracious about it. I'm very happy when someone wants my picture or whatever. But I remember once in Chicago, running towards a plane that I was late for, and they were holding the door open for me. And some lady grabbed me and said, take a picture with me. And I said, I'm sorry. And she said, oh, yeah, well, I hope their plane crashes.
Oh.
Well, you see, that happens very quickly.
That's nasty.
And so I sort of say, not just to those of us who are lucky enough to be recognized or appreciated or liked by an audience, but everybody that's an audience, take into account that maybe it's a bad day for the star that you love. Maybe she's having her period. Maybe he's having a nervous breakdown. Who knows? Just be gentle. Be kind. That's all I think God asks of us, is be kind.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't understand. I was watching a show. I mentioned this on my last show. I was watching a show as a podcast. And a lot of the podcasts talk about Hollywood as if they know the inside of Hollywood without knowing anything about Hollywood. And you're making comments on things that you've read, you've seen, you've heard, but you've never really seen a Ruta Lee. You've never really met them in person or get to walk side by side with them. And it's a different feeling, you can tell. And not only that, these people have business managers. This is a business. This is their job. Like you have a job, you know, whether you go to 9 to 5, these people are giving of their heart and soul.
Yes.
That's their job. And to assume that their lives, your life is supposed to be turned over to complete strangers and up for discussion is very bewildering to me. I find that very interesting.
Well, you know, the thing is, when you invite people to enter your living room, your den, your kitchen, your bathroom, if you're rich, to come in and be part of your personal life. You know, you can be filing your toenails and watching a superstar on television. It becomes very personal when you watch people through your toes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we sometimes forget that while we're visiting with you in your bedroom doesn't mean we're sleeping with you. It means we have our own lives. And yeah, you can't forget that. It has to be respected.
Has to be respected. Now, you're doing your play at the El Puerto Theater. I think it's 5629 Lancashire, for those of you that are local, Lancashire Boulevard. I believe it said 56. I'm going on memory.
Well, then your memory is better than mine. It's beautiful old theater that has been turned into a great playhouse now. And I love it because my best friend Debbie Reynolds used to bicycle there on Saturdays to go to the movies. And we're doing, it's my act from wherever I do it that I've expanded by having lots of wonderful guest stars. Mm-hmm. And Jillian, who happens to be another Lithuanian girlfriend of mine, and Joanne Worley, that madcap lady.
Love her, yeah.
And Fritz Coleman and Charles Herrera and Bruce is coming. Oh my God, just the most wonderful people. And so we're expanding it, and we made it a benefit for the Thalians. And of course, we sold out 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I'm happy to say. But maybe we'll repeat it again someday. And I would love, I couldn't think of Bruce Valanche's last name. Bruce Valanche is a comedy writer. And of course, you know, he's a very heavy set guy and he wears nothing but T-shirts. And I've always said he looks like he stepped out of Gentleman's Quarterly, you know.
Well, we got to take a break and talk about our sponsor. Okay.
Oh, Kevin, yes, we love those people.
Pike. We love our sponsors. Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker. Kevin is a senior probate and real estate specialist. He is with Coldwell Banker. His number is 818-571-1508. Again, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, senior, my dear heart, Kevin Pike. He has the cutest little face, and he loves to take care of your needs, whatever you want, whatever you need to see, buy, if you're going through something, if you're divorcing, getting married, if you're having a baby, someone's leaving the planet, whatever you need, Kevin Pike will take care of your needs. Again, COA Banker, Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist, Kevin Pike, 818-571-1508. And now back to Ms. Rita Lee. Okay, baby girl, so you were talking about, Belanchi, you said his name was? The guy that wears the t-shirts.
Bruce Valanche.
Valanche.
He has written probably 16 Academy Awards. He's basically a writer, but he's so damn funny that they put him on all the time. And he used to be on Hollywood Squares, which of course is a show that I did for years.
Yes, you did.
Such fun with it. And just recently went to the memorial for Darling Man, who was the host of the show, and Peter, of course. And it was such a joy to see all of the show talk people and the game people, you know.
Well, you're going to do it on May 30th now. I know the book is doing really well on Amazon, you guys. I think it's at 5 Thank now. You. We're 4 points something. Then on Goodreads. Goodreads is a good measure. Goodreads is like the high end of, you know, if you really are doing well out there and you're an author, a writer, and you've got a book out, if you're on Goodreads, you're doing pretty darn good.
So well, you even want them to consider their ass kissed.
We're going to kiss all of their asses. But what I want to ask you, you in the book on Kindle, I believe you also have an audio version.
Yes.
When you talk, can we hear a little bit about what, you know, are you talking out loud and telling your story? Or are you talking with people while you tell your story?
Unfortunately, I dislike doing it for one reason. Mm-hmm. That's my bird you hear screaming out.
It's there. Okay.
He'll be quiet in a minute.
Yeah.
I'm a tiny touch claustrophobic. And in order to record, you are in something that is like a telephone booth that is all padded with that black foam all the way around. And so it's very silent and very quiet. And I'm good for about 30 minutes. And then I need out and to get a little air. But yeah. I love doing it simply because I'm telling my story. And when it's my voice and my inflection and my accents that I use, it makes it a little more personal. And the critics on the book at the very beginning and to this day all seem to kind of say the same thing. And that is that reading the book is like sitting down and having cocktails with me. We just sit and schmooze and chat and talk, and that I tell my stories. And the fellow that helped me with the book, he recorded it all and then had it all transcribed. Mm-hmm. He said, Rita, you have the best stories to tell about everybody in the business. And you should share that with more people than just whoever you're on a talk show with. And so I did. So I have a little tidbit about a lot of people and how I felt about them. And I think, knowing me, as your audience has now gotten to know
me,
thank you, my darling, that I really don't have anything ugly to say about people.
You're psychic. I was just thinking that out of everything that I saw, which I'm aspiring to be, number one, we just to say this out loud, we all have a hard enough time just being human every day and living daily life. We don't need the extra put downs. What you ain't doing, all of us are not without fault. I'm full of fault. So whenever I look at people, even though like somebody said something negative, in my opinion, about the Met Gala, I said, you know what? There were a lot of negative things I could have said, but I choose to look at the light side of it. I choose to look at the best side of what they tried.
Bravo.
Choose to do that. Rather than put it down, we got enough things putting us down. Let's support one another. And I love that not one person that you spoke about, you had anything negative to say. You saw the good and the bright side of them. This is why they're a star, because the man can act. He has 20 different languages he can speak in dialect. You know, this is why they're a star. Not, oh, yeah, they're still doing you know, blah, 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 blah. We all know that. Let them, you know, it's okay. They'll do whatever they need to do to grow. We're all growing. We're all learning. And I felt so good that you were able to
thank you
such a humanitarian spirit, even in your work.
Thank you for saying that, because I think one of my complaints that I share with you and your audience is that the internet has allowed everybody to become a momentary star, even if it's for 30 seconds. And I see and hear so much negativity, little snide remarks about this one or that one, that I guess is supposed to make you feel like you know something that nobody else knows. But I agree with you that leave it out. There's enough crap in the world without adding more to it out of your mouth or mine. Or out of your heart or mine, you know. Give us the good stuff.
That's what I feel like. And everybody wants to talk about because it's dirt or whatever. Like, I don't want to hear dirt. I really don't. I don't care. I want to hear, what good did they do while they were on the planet? Is it something I can teach my grandchildren?
Yes.
Or some group of kids? Is it something I can share that they can take like I did when I was a little kid? And years later, I can still hear my grandma telling her stories. You know, somebody can still listen to Rita Lee, you know, when you're no longer wishing to be down here and do your purpose and fulfill your sense of purpose and what you were put here to do. Somebody can go back and say, remember Rita Lee? And remember what she used to say, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's the kind of thing that everybody should aspire to do, in my opinion.
Now, Osiris, are you from here?
No, I'm originally from Texas. Where? I'm originally from Texas. I'm a country girl.
Yeah, but where in Texas?
I was born in Amarillo. And then I grew up in Waco. And then I got out of high school at 16 and went into the Navy and never went back.
I have a home in Fort Worth. So I'm rather partial to Texas.
You sure?
And Texans.
And I had to work to change my accent.
Well,
because when I used to talk like this, I couldn't even get a job. Because I didn't know how to talk in front of nobody. And so in order to do the news and in order to talk on TV and be where someone could talk to you in a professional manner, I had to send myself to language labs and learn how to speak the Queen's English.
Good for you. Now, do you still have family in Texas?
I have one brother. Everyone else is gone. I have a cousin, a brother. They're spread out. And to be honest with you, once I left home and went into the military, no one stayed in touch. So I'm still trying to mend the relationships that I don't. My friends are like my family.
Now, of all the places you asked me earlier, of all the places that you were in the military, where would you like to go back to?
None of them. I was stationed in Norfolk, Virginia, the biggest, largest military base.
Okay.
I was a young country Texas girl, no background. At those days, the parents didn't talk to you much about anything. So you didn't know where you were going, what you were doing. So I just wanted to fly and go out into the big world that my dad talked about that was in the Webster Dictionary. My dad used to say the whole world is in the Webster Dictionary. We were not allowed to ask him questions about words. We were made and forced to go and pick up the dictionary and spell the word out and then look at the word.
What a wise man.
That's how I was taught to learn. So I'm very vigorous about learning. I love food. It's like food, learning and words are like food to me. I feel like I'm eating.
Excuse me, when you're
talking.
I'm on the air with Osiris. I'll call you back.
Hey, whoever's talking to her on the air while she's talking on the air. She's back. She's back, Sam. She's back, Sam. I think you went off the air when you answered the phone, Ruta. So I don't know what happened. Ruta, where'd she go? Oh, no. Hello. Okay, Sam must not be there either. Okay, you guys, we're having a technical thing, I guess.
Ron.
Oh, there you are.
There we are. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, it was just like... I didn't know what happened. I know when you answered the phone, but it shouldn't have cut it off.
I'm good at tap dancing, but not at electronics.
Honey, at age soon to be 90 years old, you can do whatever the hell you want to.
Good girl. Thank you.
You know, and not give a rat's tooter what people say about what you're doing. I'm happy to be living that I can see you and meet you, even if on a screen in person.
Well, it is.
I wanted to say, can you sit up a little taller? The whole interview,
am I disappearing?
You've been kind of low. And I don't want to cut you off. It looks like you're just talking down there. That's better. Yeah. But you're probably a little bitty petite.
Maybe I can roll.
There you go.
Is that better?
All right, there we go. Yes.
Okay, that's my turn.
I just didn't want to go the rest of the show and have you looking. So let's talk about what we can expect when we go to the El Portal Theater on May
30th. Well, you will expect to hear a lot of singing by a lot of wonderful people, a lot of sharing of stories. And amazingly enough, for the after party, because it is my birthday, and I've threatened everybody with bodily harm if they sing Happy Birthday, yeah, yeah. I hate that song. And I think of the millions of dollars those silly old broads made by writing that song. And I don't want any party regarding my birthday. But I said, as long as it is my birthday, it's my choice. So you know what we're having? Pink's hot dogs and champagne afterwards. Now, doesn't that just get to you? Don't you just love that idea?
I love it. Now, does Pink sell just beef hot dogs still? Because I know people are still wrapped around the corner, chili dogs or...
Well, you can have anything you want on it. You can have chili on it. You can have anything else. I presume that they're still the same hot dogs they've ever done. And if you're a vegetarian, eat the bun.
Eat the bun and put some lettuce and tomatoes on it. Like
with some chili on it.
That's the that's a vegetarian sandwich.
There you go.
I want to talk a little bit about the Burrells. Milton and his wife, you talked about how close that you spent a lot of time with them.
I did.
And then also about Debbie Reynolds. I want to mention them before we go out. I want to talk a little bit about how that has enabled you to stay grounded, to stay focused, and still be here at 90 and have your good mind. Have your good mind.
Thank heavens for that.
What happened? How did that affect you?
I grew up with Lithuanian American parents whose work ethic was what saw them all through life, that you don't wait for the government to help you. You don't wait for anybody to do for you. You do it yourself. You earn it and it's yours. And that's the way I grew up. And Debbie grew up the same way. Her daddy was a railroad man. He worked on the railroad cars, and they lived in Texas, by the way. She, of course, was a great influence in many ways, because very, very hardworking and very generous of time and spirit. I think the reason that I'm still going at 90, at full speed ahead, is that I'm blessed with good genes that hold up. And now I had a stroke recently.
Did you?
Which surprised the hell out of me, Osiris. I mean, I didn't know I was having it. When I had it, I went out, you know. And my girlfriend found me when I didn't come home. And it got me to the hospital. And thank God I was up and around, you know, 2 days later. but it makes you aware that you are fallible. You know, things will fall apart on you as you get older. And thank God I'm still tiny. I'm not heavy. I'm not carrying a lot of weight. But I'm a tiny bit more careful. I now hold on to the railings of, you know, when I'm going down the stairs, which I never used to do. And I try not to wear high heels.
I love my high heels, though.
Oh, of course you do, you tramp.
I love my heels.
I try not to wear those as much anymore. But I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for every day that I have and every year that I have. And I think that a lot of it is that I take satisfaction in having done something good for somebody who couldn't do it for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that we as a nation have gotten too dependent on not doing it for yourself, having it done for you, getting it from over there, you know. Americans are the most generous people on the face of the earth. And if you can get to them with your story of need, it will be helped. You will have the money. Someone will give you whatever it is you need. But it has to be fair and square.
It has to be.
I just keep saying, God, keep smiling on us as Americans, even though sometimes we forget about that there is something a lot more important than ourselves in this planet.
Well, let me give a shout out to our sponsor again, Kevin Pike.
I want to meet him in person.
Kevin's amazing. He's got this cute little sweet little face like this, and he helps everyone, and he's still kind-hearted, and the world hasn't changed him. He hasn't turned into an ass. You know, he's just such a good guy, and he really does help people get what they want. You know, not forced to get anything. Like, what do you want? Do you feel, could you die here? If you moved here, would you be willing to spend the rest of your life and pass away in this place? That's the kind of looking he looks for. That's somebody you could, something you can really call home. Coal Banker, 818-571-1508.
Oh, he is huge.
Senior real estate and probate, especially my little cootie, Kevin Pike of Coal Banker, 818-571-1508. Look at that little cute face.
Oh, he's adorable.
I know. So back to Ms. Ruta. So Ms. Lee, where can we find out more about Consider Your Ass Kissed, the book? Consider Your Ass Kissed at the El Portal on May 30th on her 90th. Is your birthday actually on May 30th?
It is.
Oh, it is the 90th birthday. You're May 30th.
Uh-huh.
90th birthday on May 30th at the El Portal. I think it's 5629 Lancashire, but it is on Lancashire. I'm not sure about the number, but I know it's the El Portal Theater.
Well, the
so what are your social media tags? Where we can find more? You can find a lot about her on YouTube. There's a lot of good clips. There's one called Ruta Lee's Life's Moments. It's fabulous.
Oh, good. Yeah,
where else can we find you on Instagram, good. Facebook?
Just go to, of course, my site has everything on it and what I'm doing. I'm not working nearly as much as I used to.
Yes, it's fine.
But I will be doing my show again. And I like doing my act in a terrific saloon, you know. The Purple Room in Palm Springs is where I play every year. I played there for 4 years.
Really?
And Desi, not Desi, but Lucy Arnaz plays there a lot. And one of my friends that's going to be appearing, Jerry Ring, who is a protege of Liberace's, is wonderful. And he plays in saloons down there. So I love it. Come see me no matter where I am. I love shows because then I get to meet people in person. I get to, you know, hug and hold hands and say hello. It's so nice to meet you. That's the thing that I love so about live theater.
And make a human connection. Make a human. Reach out and touch somebody. Reach out and touch
somebody. But, you know, I feel like you do. With your doing these wonderful casts.
Thank you.
You not only are you, but you're taking your friends and your guests along and saying, come on, I'm going to share somebody's den with you, you know. And I feel like I've gotten to know some of your viewers and your audience. And you're lucky to have this divine Osiris as a leader.
No,
Let her lead you into all kinds of interesting
situations. I try to bring the heart. I try to bring heart. Like I said, I'm all about the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
I choose to live on the heart side of life. I choose to live in the light. I choose. Not that any of us can be bad or negative, but we're not angry or whatever. We choose to live in a better frequency. That's what I like to talk about. So don't forget about me. Don't forget about our guest, Ms. Ruta Lee, at the El Portal Theater, May 30th on Lancashire.
And by all means, even though she does the heart, I say, consider your ass kissed. That's the consider other end. But that's you at on, you know, any bookstore that you want, or Amazon is the fast way to get it.
That's the fastest way to get her book. And don't forget, you guys, she does have merch. So the book is her merch. If you go to the show, you'll see her. You'll meet her. She may even be giving away some. Who knows what she might do. She'll be on her 90th birthday, honey, and eating Pink's chili dogs. And I'll tell her what might be happening. But anyway, don't forget about me. I loke you. I loke you. I like you because you're brave and honest, and you do what you're trying to do your best, even despite your back's being against the wall. If I could hug you all, here's my hug.
Well, we are hugging. I love you.
I would love to hug you all and give you some of my heart, you know, but I know things are going on out there. And then don't forget about IG, Osiris_Munir_.
Got it.
The painter on IG, and everywhere else is 15 minutes to show. Just Google my name and you'll find a lot about me. Don't forget about my girl, Miss Ruta Lee. Mwah.
Well, thank I love you, my precious.
I adore you.
Thank you for sharing your audience with me.
And thank you for coming home on and sharing your heart with us. We love you. We appreciate you. You are forever in my heart. I know exactly who you are. I love you. All right. Bye.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye for now.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.